So we are coming up to the Platinum Jubilee, very exciting occasion. And we certainly did things 10 years ago for the Diamond Jubilee, 20 years ago for the Golden Jubilee. Now we've got the Platinum Jubilee. I remember, and I'm sure one or two others, perhaps only one or two others on this this year, remember back in 1977, it was the Queen's Silver Jubilee. And I remember she toured the country in celebration of the Jubilee. And she went to all the cities, whatever, all the areas. And in London, she went through all the London boroughs. She travelled through all the London boroughs, and school kids came out and lined the route, etc., etc. So the school that I went to, the primary school I went to, was Solomon Wilson Primary School. Doesn't exist any longer. It was in Notting Hill, which is a London borough of Kensington and Chelsea. I think that's the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea. And the day before, each class was asked to choose a couple of kids to go and line the route. And I was very excited. I was one of the children from my class who was chosen. That tomorrow we'd be lining the route. We had to bring our flags and wave them, etc. So I went home and I told my parents very excitedly that I'm going to be seeing the Queen tomorrow. I think I sort of thought it was going to be just me and the Queen. It wasn't. Anyhow, my late father, Allah Pa Shalom, said to me, there's a bracha to say when you see the Queen. So I said, what is it? And he told me what the bracha is. And I said, I don't think I'll be able to remember that. So he said he'll write it down for me. I was only a kid at the time. So he wrote it down for me on a green index card. He wrote out the bracha. I put it in my blazer pocket. We all had to wear school blazers. And the next day, lining the route for the Queen, and we waited and we waited. Eventually, she's coming, she's coming. And so I pulled the card with the bracha out of my pocket, said the bracha, looked up, and the Queen had gone past, and all I saw was the back of the Duke of Edinburgh's head. So that's the Maisa Shahaya, if you like. What I want to try and do this evening is really look at the sugya and see, was it correct that I should have said that bracha? So I want to start off with a Gemara in Masechet Brachot in the final perek. And the final parak of Masechet Brachot deals with lots of brachot, which are said on various special occasions when you see particular things. These are what we call Birchot HaRe'iyah. Brachot said when you see something or you experience a particular phenomenon. And the Gemara says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan, Haro'ech Chachmei Yisrael, Omer Baruch Shechalak Mechochmato Lireyav. If you see a wise Jewish sage, then you say a bracha. You say the bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, praising Hashem, Shechalak Mechochmato Lireyav, that he has shared his wisdom with those who fear him. And Chachmei Umot HaOlam, if it's a Gentile sage, Omer one says, Baruch Shenatan Mechochmato Livriotav, blessing Hashem, for giving, not sharing, but giving of his wisdom to his creations, to human beings. So this would be an interesting share in its own right. Under what circumstances do we say the bracha of Shechalak Mechochmato? What type of sages are we talking about? Are we talking about only Torah sages? Are we talking about secular sages? What if a Jewish person, obviously a non-Jew is not going to be a Torah sage. What if a Jewish person is a sage in a secular discipline? Do you say the bracha over them? Okay, that's not for now. Haro'eh Malchei Yisrael. If one sees a Jewish king, Omer, one says the bracha of Baruch Shechalak Mikvoto Lireyav, praising Hashem for sharing his glory with those who fear him. Malchei Umot HaOlam, and if one sees a Gentile king, Omer one says, Baruch Shenatan Mikvodo Libriotav. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving some of his glory to human beings. So we see there's a bracha for seeing a monarch. If it's a Jewish monarch, we praise Hashem for sharing his glory. If it's a Gentile monarch, then we praise Hashem for giving of his glory. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, while we're on the topic of royalty, Lo la bishtadel adam la rutz likrat malchei Yisrael. Person should always hurry to go towards malchei Yisrael, to Jewish royalty. Avelo likrat malchei Yisrael bilvad, and not only towards Jewish royalty. El afilu likrat malchei umot haolam. Even if you haven't got Jewish royalty there, but you've got Gentile royalty. So you should hurry to go and see Gentile royalty. If you're thinking about lining the route for the Jubilee procession, it's a good thing to do. The Gemara says this is the right thing to do. Why? Why is it so worthwhile going to line the route to see the Queen? She'im yizkeh, because if you're fortunate enough in the future to experience the Melech HaMashiach, then yavchin bein malchei Yisrael and malchei umot ha'olam. You'll be able to compare the difference between Jewish sovereignty and Jewish royalty and Gentile sovereignty and Gentile royalty. You know, you'll have, you'll encounter the Melech HaMashiach and you'll have something to compare it with. So therefore, it's worthwhile going to see even Gentile royalty, not necessarily in its for its own sake, but so that we've got an inkling of what Melech HaMashiach is going to be like, so much greater. And when Melech HaMashiach comes, we'll be able to understand and appreciate how great that Melech HaMashiach is. So that's the Gemara, which states or sets out for us the notion that there is a bracha to be said when encountering royalty. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Reish Kafket, Ifket, says as follows: Al Malchei Yisrael Omer. Sorry, this should be Siman Reish Kafdalad, Ifket. Al Malchei Yisrael Omer. When you encounter or see a Jewish king, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shechalak Mikvoto Lireav. Al Malchei Avdel Kochavim Omer, Baruch Shenatam Mikvoto Lebasav Adam. And if it's a Gentile king, then you praise Hashem for giving of his glory to human beings. Interesting, the Shulchan Aruch has a slightly different text to the Gemara. The Gemara said Livri Otav, and in the Shulchan Aruch we've got Levasar Vadam. This presumably reflecting just different texts in the Gemara. Some texts of the Talmud will have said, like we have, Livri Otav, some will have said Levasar Vadam. And clearly what the Shulchan Aruch had was Levasar Vadam. So we've got this notion that you say a bracha over a monarch. The question is, how do we define a monarch? We know what the bracha is. What do we define a monarch? Now, you might say, very obviously, well, the queen's a monarch, so of course you say a bracha over the queen. But there's a significant difference between a modern monarch in a democratic state like the Queen on the one hand, and a medieval monarch, or certainly a Roman emperor going back 2000 years ago, where the role and power of the emperor or monarch was much greater than it is today. Today the Queen's power is very, very limited, if it exists at all. She has that there is a kavod shown to the queen, but in terms of power, it's it's totally different to what it was in Talmudic times and even in the times of the Rishonim. So the fact that our monarch is called the queen, if we went back 2,000 years, they'd laugh and they'd say, "What? That's a queen? You don't let her do anything. She's not in charge of anything." So she might have the title and some of the trappings of being a monarch, but in a practical sense, and therefore in a halachic sense, it's questionable whether she's got the status of being a monarch. And this is what I want to try and look at in the contemporary poskim. And it's kind of interesting. There's not a lot of discussion in the earlier poskim. I guess in the times of the Rishonim, it was because it was very clear what a melech was. A melech hadn't changed that much in the year 1200 from what it was in the year 400. A melech still had the same rights and privileges, etc., and powers. And it's kind of interesting that even going back 200 years, there's not a lot of discussion. There is quite a lot of discussion over the course of the past 50 years. So let's start with the Mishnah Brura. So the Mishnah Brura is, on the face of it, being expansive. He's expanding the definition of what a melech is. If we look in the Mishnah Brura, and he's basing himself on the Magen Avraham, who in turn is basing himself on earlier authorities. Mishnah Brura says, Hashiltonim she'ein ol melech aleihem, l'shanot divrehem. If you have what I suppose would be regional governors, that who aren't answerable to anybody higher up the ladder, v'dan v'horeg b'mishpat, and has the right to pass sentence and commit to execution in a just way. So they've got the power of imposing capital punishment. Then mevarich aleihem. Then you say a bracha over them. So the Mishnah Brura is saying two things really. He's saying, number one, it doesn't necessarily need to be a what we would call a melech. It doesn't need to be, oh, this is King Frederick III or King Henry VIII or anything like that. It just needs to be somebody who's got power, somebody who's got power. Even if they don't have the title of a melech, you would still say that bracha over them. Va'al ha'sarim she'memaneh ha'melech b'chol ir va'ir. If it's just sort of local governors, the head of the town council or something like that, the local mayor, Malchut, seeing as they don't really have any independent power, if they want to pass the death penalty, there have been people looting in their vicinity or even committing murder or rape or whatever it is, and they want to pass the death penalty, they can't do that without getting authority from higher authorities, from those who are more senior to them. So the Mishnah Brura is saying that, yeah, on the one hand, we're being expansive and we're saying that it doesn't have to be davka, what we would call a king. And then he's also being limiting. He's saying that, but what is the definition of a king for these purposes? It seems to be somebody who's got the power to pass the death penalty. That's what defines you as being a melech for this bracha. And I suppose it's understandable because we could ask ourselves, you know, what's it, or perhaps we should ask ourselves, what's the nature of this bracha? You know, when we're praising Hashem, Shenatan mikvodo lebasar v'adam, that he's given some of his glory to human beings, what exactly does that mean? What type of glory are we talking about? Are we talking about the fact that the queen wears a crown and has courtiers and trumpeters blowing when she goes into the state opening of parliament and that sort of thing? That's the kavod, which is a shadow of the kavod that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets, but it's a kavod. And therefore, that's why we're saying the bracha. Or is it really, what's the kavod, what's the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't all the decorative stuff. It's the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Meimitu Mechaya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to let people live or die. And if a Melech has that power as well, therefore he's got some of the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore it's appropriate to say the bracha. So the Mishnah Brura seems at this stage to be saying that the kavod is the ability to put people to death, to bring a person's life to an end, which is almost a godly decision. And it's not limited to somebody who's got the title of king, it means somebody who's got that power. We'll see in a moment that Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner, isn't so convinced by that explanation. But certainly that would be the straightforward reading of the Mishnah Brura. I see Tal's got a question. So, well, you're asking who would this, what who would that include? Who's got the power of deciding about, the death penalty? So, okay, we'll see more. We'll see Chubot on this subject in a little bit. I want to start though. So from the mission of Breuer, I think one could possibly draw the conclusion that in actual fact, not to say a bracha on seeing the queen. Why wouldn't you say a bracha on seeing the queen? Because she doesn't have the power to put anybody to death. Once upon a time, the King of England could say, off with his head, as they do in the storybooks. And the Kings of England did that quite regularly. But nowadays, you can't do that. So it might be that the Queen doesn't have the status of a melech as far as this bracha is concerned. Two caveats with that are, number one, it's possible that the Mishnah Berurah is just giving us an additional definition of what a melech is. Meaning it might be that the Mishnah Berurah holds it. Obviously, a melech is a melech. But you've even got some people who aren't actually melech who are also a melech. Meaning that a governor isn't his Royal Highness, but nevertheless, he's got the din of a melech for this bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah is a little bit unclear what he would say about our queen. Now let's look at the tshuva of the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Vosner. Rav Vosner in Shevet HaLevi, Chelek Aleph, Siman Lamed Hei. Rav Vosner was a very prominent, important posek in Bnei Brak. Was nifter about 6 or 7 years ago, and he is of the opinion that in actual fact you would say a bracha over the queen. Let's see why. He says, "V'chein pashut be'inai." It seems obvious to me. Da'afilo ein bi'ada laharog mamash b'li hityatzutim rashei hashilton. Even if the monarch, and he's talking here about a queen, doesn't have the power to unilaterally make a decision to execute somebody, mikol makom heyot he or hu hayoter mechubadim ba'amam, seeing as these are the people who get the most respect out of the entire nation, v'cholkim lahem kavod she'ein dugmato, and we show them respect unequaled in any other context. Then it is appropriate to say the bracha of Sheikh and Natan Mikvodo. And he says this is actually what seems from the tshuva of the Radbaz, which is where the notion comes from that the Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham have mentioned that if a governor has the power to execute somebody, so then you would also say the bracha over them. That is talking about, people who were appointed, they're lower down in the chain. They were appointed by the king or the government. If they haven't got the power to put anybody to death, then that means because they are only governors, so then they're not so important and you wouldn't say a bracha on them. But lo b'melech atzmo she'ein tachsisei ha'chok monim ha'bracha, kevan shu melech be'emet. But he says, if you've got a proper king, a proper monarch, so then they get lots of kavod. The fact that they can't put anybody to death doesn't matter. So certainly the way the Shevet HaLevi is learning it is that the Mishnah Berurah is saying two things that you've got. You can either be a melech, and you get all the trappings of royalty, or if you're not a melech but you've got the power to execute somebody, so then you've also got the status of a melech. So he's really understanding this notion of the kavod both ways. He's saying the kavod refers to the way people show respect to them, and it also the kavod is the ability you've got to impose the death penalty. So according to the Shevet HaLevi, the Queen, there's much kavod given to the Queen. The Brits, we do royalty very, very well. We've got hundreds of years of experience in it, and nobody else in the world is really doing it much these days, certainly not in the way that we are. So, you don't get greater kavod than with the royal family and with the queen. And therefore, you would say the bracha on the queen. But he also says, no, if you've got somebody who's got the ability, the power to impose the death penalty, then you would say the bracha on them. Now, other Achronim actually point out, you know, you do have in various dictatorships and things like that, you do have people who've got the power to impose the death penalty. But there it depends whether you say the bracha or not, depends on whether or not that's a just ruler or not a just ruler. If it's not a just ruler, you want to daven that they should be removed rather than saying a bracha praising Hashem for them. So I don't know if there are nowadays anywhere where you've got just rulers who can still put people to death, more or less on a whim. But that's an important observation of the Shevet Halevi, Rav Vosner. Rav Moshe Sternbach, who it should be pointed out is actually an Englishman, he has a tshuva in Shuvot v'Hanakot Chelek Betzim Kuflamatet, where he also discusses this issue, and he discusses it from a couple of perspectives. So he's asked the question about when there was going to be I don't know which president of America was visiting Israel. He said there was a machloket whether or not to say the bracha. And his opinion was that in actual fact you don't say a bracha over the president of the United States. Why not? Because he says the president of the United States doesn't really have any individual power. What he's doing is he's representing Congress or the Senate or whatever it is. He's got limited powers. He has to work within the legislature. And he's only chosen for a particular period of time. As opposed, he says, to he talks about the Malucha Ba'Anglia, the British royal family, which he says, similar to Rav Vosner, puts aside the limited powers that the king or the queen has, but there is real kavod, there is really real glory. You look at this is amazing when you see the royal family. If you look the third line down, he says, "Lo damni nucha ba'anglia, filibis manenu." He says, in England, even nowadays, "Shal kol chok chadash hamalka chotemet." He says, number one, the Queen actually has to give the royal assent to every law that's passed. So that is, she's involved in the governance of the country. I think one could query this. One could argue about it. If the Queen were to refuse to give the royal assent, then she'd be toppled. The Queen doesn't have the, in real terms, doesn't have the right not to give the royal assent. And then he goes on to say, you never get, as opposed to an American president, you get rid of every 4 or 8 years, the royal British royal family, it's there forever. The Queen is treated like proper royalty. It's true that the Queen doesn't get involved in governmental matters. She has to sign every law. And the legitimacy of Parliament is dependent on the Queen. Now, again, I think one could argue about that. One could say that in actual fact, maybe the Queen's credibility is dependent on Parliament. We've got the notion of, of the door of the Commons being slammed in the face of Black Rod. And in actual fact, the Queen not being allowed to enter into the House of Commons. So it's not that the Parliament is dependent on the Queen to a large degree. The Queen is dependent on Parliament. And then he goes on to make an interesting comment, which we have to. This tshuva was probably written 50 years ago. He says, "Kvoda lo pachat kol hadorot kim lo neima." That's the kavod of the royal family hasn't diminished, hasn't decreased at all over in all the generations. Now that's definitely not true. The kavod that we would give to the royal family today is very different to what the kavod that was given, 100 years ago, or even maybe 50, 60 years ago, certainly at the beginning of the Queen's reign. Now there's a lot of debate about the royal family. We don't have the same degree of veneration for them as our grandparents did. we don't intrinsically believe that the Queen is a better person than we are. We have expectations from the royal family, and we're willing, you know, it's a complex relationship. We're willing to give them cavod, provided they do what we and behave in the way that we expect them to. And as we've seen in recent years and generations, sometimes the royal family hasn't behaved in the way that we would expect them to. And in actual fact, the whole integrity of the royal family and survival of the royal family is at stake because of it. But he says that, you know, the fact that she can't put anybody to death, that doesn't matter because she's got proper malchus in any event. He says it's different with the Nasiv Arzat HaBrit, Yecholim Lo Hadicho. He can be voted out, or at least when his term of office comes to an end after 4 years, he won't necessarily get voted back in. Yeah, the definition of a melech is a person who is in charge for their entire life, you know, for the rest of their life, not till the next election. And therefore, if you're waiting for the next election, and certainly in the United States, you know, you can't serve more than two terms as a president. So, you know, that's not malchut. Malchut isn't that, okay, well, you've done your 8 years and now you get kicked out. And therefore, he's of the opinion that, yes, over the Queen, you would say a bracha. Over the president of the United States, you wouldn't. Then he has a very interesting last paragraph. We won't look at it inside, but he says he's always been a bit unsure. He says in England, people go to Buckingham Palace, you know, to the Mall, and they stand outside Buckingham Palace, hoping to get a glimpse of the Queen. And he says sometimes the Queen will look out of a window to see, you know, to see what's going on, and everybody will say a bracha on her. Now, I'm not sure that the Queen really spends her time, you know, peeking around the curtains at Buckingham Palace. I think she's got either more important things to do or things that interest her more rather than seeing how many people there are in the Mall on a Tuesday morning. But putting that to one side, Rav Moshe Sternbach says he's not sure that you would say a bracha in those circumstances because he says, you know, when you say a bracha on royalty, it's on the trappings of royalty. So if you just see a friendly old lady looking, twitching behind the curtains, you know, that's not royalty. So you wouldn't say a bracha. And he says, you're not even sure, even if you go for a meeting with the Queen, you know, you're invited to maybe a dinner at Buckingham Palace or lunch. You know, these can be small intimate affairs or even an investiture or something like that. You know, the Queen's not wearing her robes and not wearing her crown. So maybe you shouldn't say a bracha in those cases. On the other hand, he says, and I think what he's saying is correct, is that the trappings of royalty are not just the crown and the robes. You know, in terms of, yes, the robes and the crown, those they look really good, and where the Queen wears that for state opening of Parliament and that sort of thing, you know, it looks really malchustic. But I think if you go into Buckingham Palace for even for an investiture, you know, just being there, you have the whole sense of, you know, Buckingham Palace is not like Al Etzion Shul. You know, there's a little bit of a difference in terms of the furnishings, the opulence, and the sense you get when you walk in. You know, our chairs are stained already. Buckingham Palace, it's not like that. That's the definition of malchus, that your chairs aren't stained. So I think, you know, even if you go to Buckingham Palace for an investiture, I think according to Rav Moshe Sternbach, and according to the Shevet HaLevi, you would say a bracha, even though the Queen's not wearing her crown. Ah, what if you were at Paddington Station today when the Queen showed up wearing a sunshine yellow dress? So would you say the bracha on the Queen there? She looked like a smart old lady. Did she, you know, did you see malchus with the Queen when she showed up at Paddington Station today? So in actual fact, I would suggest that you do. In terms of the way the Queen shows up to Paddington Station on a Tuesday morning is not the way you or I show up to Paddington Station. You've got a sense this is malchus. You know, everybody is courtesying to her, bowing, and even if you don't bow so much nowadays, you know, everybody's treating her with great deference. You know, there's you know, plenty of police there. There's security. There's, you know, everything. Everybody's told how they should address her, who can speak to her, etc., etc. That's Malchus. The fact that she's not in Buckingham Palace, the fact that she's not in not wearing her crown, I don't think that matters. You've still got manifestations of Malchus there. So those are two opinions that say that you would say a bracha on seeing the queen. However, if you look at Rav Avadya Yosef in Shelot Tshuva Chavedat, Chelet Betzim Kafchet, he disagrees, and he says that in actual fact, the only you only say a bracha on somebody who's got the power to put to impose the death penalty. Otherwise, you wouldn't say the bracha. Look what he says. So, Lichora democratic, so a democratically elected president, he can't just make his own decisions about, I'm going to kill all the Republicans and keep the Democrats alive, or vice versa. You shouldn't say a bracha on them. Shari Rabbeinu Avraham Beit Din Varad Baz Talu Adavah B'Mishe B'Yadol Adun Dinei Nefashot Yachol LaHarog B'Mishpat. We've said previously that there is an opinion that you say that the kavod of a melech is that they can execute people. Masha'in Kein B'Nisim Shel Zmanein. That's not true with democratically elected presidents nowadays. But he goes on to say, two lines later, Ulam Nireh, is no, I think differently. Shehov yesh biyado shel nesi medina lekabel or lidchot hamlatzat chanina al mi shenidon lamut al yedei batei hamishpat hamusmachim lekach nimtza shesamchut dineinu farshot mesura biyado. What does he mean by that? He means that the president of the United States, and I think in the state, certainly in some states in America, this might be actually the governors of the states as well. They have the certainly the president has the ability to pass a presidential pardon. He can issue a presidential pardon if somebody has got the death penalty, has been sentenced to death. So the president can commute that. Certainly in some of the states that have the death, you know, the governor has to sign off on it. If the governor of the state doesn't sign off on it, so then the person can't be put to death. If the president gets involved and commutes the death penalty, so then the person won't be put to death. So in that case, they do have, so it's true they can't, you know, on any given city, but they don't like the way a person's crossing the road. They can't say, oh, off with his head. But they do have the power in some circumstances to decide whether a person will live or die. So therefore, at least in some circumstances, they are like a melech, and therefore one could argue that you should say a bracha over them. So this, of course, would be a difference between the president of the United States and the president of France. President of France, actually, you shouldn't say a bracha over because they don't have the trappings of royalty, and there's no death penalty in France, as far as I'm aware. So therefore, they can't exercise clemency. Whereas in the United States, where there is the death penalty, so then the president can decide that he's not signing off on somebody's death warrant, or he's going to commute their sentence, and therefore he's got the status of a melech in that regard. And he says even with a you know an elected president who's only got a 4-year term or an 8-year term, whatever it is, nevertheless, seeing as they have they have that power, so therefore you should say a bracha over them. So it seems that Rav Avadya Yosef is paskening very much that no, the ikkar is, do they have the power to put somebody to death? He's not interested in whether they're wearing a crown or not wearing a crown. That doesn't make a difference. He's following the Radbaz and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah as they say it, that no, the definition of a melech is somebody who can put people to death. Now, I have heard it suggested that in actual fact, the queen has that power as well. How can that be? Because in some of the dependencies, There is the death penalty, and that has to be every time there's a death penalty, that has to be signed off by the Queen. And therefore, if she doesn't sign it off, so therefore that person won't be put to death. And therefore, she's essentially got the power to decide who will live and who will die. Tal asked in the chat just before. He said, would this apply, to say high court judges who can, impose the death penalty? Not in this country, but in the Supreme Court judges, in the states, would that apply to them? You could say the brach on them. I suspect not, because they're not making independent decisions. When a judge passes the death penalty in America, and I'm not any sort of expert whatsoever on American law, but I assume it's like, in our country, that, you've got certain parameters, and generally speaking, when a judge passes a sentence, it's not really his decision at all. In terms of, there's, for this sort of crime, under these sorts of circumstances, this is the range of options that you have, and this is, the preferred option. You're working in a framework. And so certainly in the States, where, you'll have, there will be a panel of judges rather than one judge making that decision, I think you don't say bracha, because it's not anything to do with that person, who's the judge. In terms of, they're just, applying the rules that exist in the system. So I don't think you'd say a bracha. So on the Queen, thus far, we've got a machloket. Rav Avadia seems to say you don't say a bracha. Rav Moshe Sternbach and Rav Vosner seem to say that you do. I had the privilege on Friday night of sitting at the dinner table with Rav Herschel Schechter, who was here in London. And the question came up, he was here with his wife, the question came up about the Queen and saying a bracha on the Queen. And Mrs. Schechter said, they'd once been in London and she'd gone to Buckingham Palace. And lo and behold, the Queen had driven past. She was on her way back from an engagement or something, and she drove into Buckingham Palace and she saw the Queen. And when she came back to where they were staying afterwards and saw her husband, she asked him, should she have said a bracha? And he said, nah, the Queen of England's nothing. I thought Americans were overawed by our Queen. But apparently, Rav Schechter only thinks in halachic terms. And the Queen of England, she can't do anything. She's a piece of decoration for the country. And therefore, he felt, it was obvious you don't say a bracha. They then reported to us that she'd actually told that story in New York, back to a prominent Rebbetzin in New York who was British. And that prominent Rebbetzin got very, very upset at the way they'd been so dismissive of the Queen. The Queen is not just a nothing. The Queen is the Queen. So that's an interesting discussion. But it certainly seems that there's good grounds to say the bracha on the Queen. I saw in Shailos and Shuvos Shav Rafa law. These are the Shailos and Shuvot of Rafa Evers from Holland. And he has a tshuva where he's discussing where Queen Beatrice was coming to, I think it was the rabbis of the European Conference of Rabbis, perhaps, were in Holland, and they were going to be meeting with Queen Beatrice. And the question of whether bracha should be said over her. And again, she's a constitutional monarch. And the conclusion of that tshuva was all very, the minhag is we say, bracha over a constitutional monarch. It might be that it might be that it's something to do with the mindset that you have about the monarch. So Rav Moshe Sternbach is English. I mean, from looking at him, you wouldn't know he's English, and he's his hashkafot are very different to your average English person in the street. But maybe he's got a sense of, having grown up in a country where there is a melech and a sense of malchut. Rav Moshe Sternbach grew up here, I think, during the war years, where the king, played a very important role in cementing the country together. You don't regard the royal family necessarily as just being something which is quaint. if you're a royalist, of course. If you're an anti-royalist, then you just regard them as being a waste of time. If you are a royalist, so then you value them. Whereas an American might think, oh, you know, it's so wonderful to see the Queen, but you know, on a real level, you know, you wouldn't want an American perhaps wouldn't want a queen or a king in their own country because it's so quaint and so outdated and doesn't fit in with modern democracy. So it might have something to do with, with the way that, you perceive it. So what about saying on the President of the United States, seems from Rav Avadia Yosef, that you would say the bracha on the President of the United States. Rav Sternbach reported that it was a machloket. I think from what the Rav Olson has said, indicated, that the fact that he can commute the death penalty, is a way of, was a way of, is a way that they can put people to death. And therefore, you should say the bracha. The question is, again, what circumstances? If you see, the monarch or the president, you see the President of the United States, on holiday in Martha's Vineyard or wherever they go, that's not necessarily malchut. On the other hand, when, when Donald Trump went, was in Israel and, went to the Kotel, he went to the Kotel in the Beast with a, motorcade of 50 vehicles. Everybody else was cleared out of the Kotel. That is malchut. The fact that he wasn't wearing a crown and doesn't live in a palace. No, the White House is the equivalent of a palace. Anybody who can come with, 50 vehicle motorcade and, Yerushalayim's closed down for them because of who they are, that's malchus. So there's grounds to say that one should say a bracha on the President of the United States when you see them acting as president. If you see them acting just as a private citizen, then you wouldn't say the bracha because there's no malchus. Number of poskim point out that what we're interested in here is the it's the trappings of malchut. The role, it's not a din in the gavra, he's got the status, he's got the name of president, or this is prince whoever, this is king whoever. And that's important. The queen is old now, so she doesn't go out much. But, they say that, in Windsor and in Sandringham, the queen felt very much at home. And in Windsor, she would sometimes go down to the corner shop and buy something. I don't know what she needed. That's what they were out of tea bags in Windsor Castle. Don't know. But, she would sometimes do that. And so if you're the shopkeeper in Windsor and the queen walks in to get a packet of tea bags, do you say a bracha overseeing her? No. She's just dressed like an old lady with a scarf tied around her head and a handbag with no money. And somebody else has to, that's the extent of the malchus, that she has to turn to an aide and say, can you pay for me because I don't carry money. All right. But if you see the President of the United States acting as president in that capacity, then you would say a bracha. I want to finish off, though, with a very interesting observation by Rav Melamed in his Sefer Pnine Halacha. And he says he thinks that you don't say a bracha over a democratically elected president. Why not? He says because this is the whole nature of republics. Republics got rid of malchut. They didn't like this notion that there's somebody who's greater than everybody else. If you're the president, you're the president because you've got a job to do. You're a servant of the state and you've got a job to do. And yes, there might be a certain amount of protocol around that person. And there might be a certain amount of kavod, but essentially, you're allowed to be rude to the president. You can't physically harm them, but it's perfectly acceptable, to chant slogans against the president, or to turn your back on the president. If the president, if you're anti the president and the president comes in, it's acceptable to turn your back if you don't agree with them. And therefore, he says the whole nature of a president is because countries didn't want a melech. They wanted to be relieved of that sort of kavod. And therefore, it doesn't make any sense to say the bracha. So I suppose that some people would choose to be, safek brachot lahakel. So, we've got a safek whether you say a bracha. So we should be mekel and not say it. You can't say what you sometimes do in the bracha. Well, I'll find something that I'll definitely say every year. We've got shayla about, shechianu. I don't know if I say shechianu on this. So I'll get a new fruit. And then I'll say the bracha, the shechianu on the new fruit and the other thing as well. So you can't go, I'll go and get a king from somewhere else and say the bracha on them and also have the queen in mind. I'll get an African king who can, a Marxist dictator king from Africa who can put people to death at whim. I don't know if any of them exist any longer, but if they do, say a bracha on them and have the queen in mind. You can't do that. So maybe some people say, I'm not going to go and see the queen because I don't know if I'd have to say a bracha or not. But safek brachot lahakel. I think the minhag is in this country is to say the bracha. I think we really have a sense of when we see the queen. And again, some people think it's stupid. And I appreciate, this is one of the beauties of democracy. You're entitled, people are entitled to think it's stupid. Personally, I don't. I've got certain hesitations, but essentially I think that it's a good thing. And, I think from a religious perspective, when I see the kavod given to the queen, then it does make me think, if that's the kavod that we give to the queen, how much more kavod we should give to, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How much more kavod I should give, just think about it. If I was at an investiture at Buckingham Palace, and I'm waiting, I've got my medal already. Would I be out on my phone, playing with it as if it was Chazarat Hashatz, Chas V'Shalom? No. So maybe in shul also, person shouldn't, we should learn from that, not to be on our phones or whatever it is. If I was going to, if I was at Paddington Station today and I was supposed to be, meeting the Queen, would I make sure that I'm, properly attired? Yes. So if I'm, praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I make sure that I'm properly attired? The answer is yes. So I think we value royalty, and therefore I think that's one of the reasons why the minhag in the UK, I think, is to say a bracha on the Queen. But in any event, we wish her mazel tov on the occasion of her platinum jubilee. I will be giving a drosha about it, not this Shabbat, but the following Shabbat. I think it's an amazing achievement. And whether or not we say a bracha on her, personally, I think we should extend our brachot to her. So, Adkan for this evening.